How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week is a musician, one of the world's most celebrated cellists, Paul Tortelier. Monsieur Tortelier, some musicians on this program have said that they would prefer to have scores rather than records. Which would you prefer on a desert island?
Oh, I would prefer to have recordings.
Good. Now, you've made a good many records yourself. Do you collect them? Do you collect other people's recordings?
No. I am not a collector. And I have no time to hear recording at home.
In choosing these eight to take to the desert island, what was your guiding principle? Are you looking back at the past or choosing music for the courage it would give you on the island?
I thought of the music I like best, first of all. And also what you said, association with best remembrance and giving courage.
What's the first one you chose?
I chose Daphnis and Chloe by Ravel.
Why?
Because it speaks of Greece. I love Greece, and the island could be not a Greek island.
I don't think it would be.
You don't think? So this would help me because it would bring to me the beauty of the landscape of Greece.
Which part of the work should we hear?
The beginning. The beginning of the second suite, which depicts the rise of the sun.
Daphnis and Chloe, Engelbrecht conducting the orchestra of the Champs-Élysées Theatre. What's your second choice?
Penelope by Foy.
Why?
Also on account of Greece. But this time not for the landscape, but for the Greek art. In Penelope, I can see the beauty of the Greek temple, and I can feel also the history, the wonderful mythology, history of Penelope, of Elise, and all this.
An excerpt from Penelope by Foy, Enfermé conducting the Suisse Romande Orchestra. Monsieur Tortelier, in what part of France were you born?
In Paris.
Was yours a very musical family?
No, not at all. They had music at heart, but they were not professional.
How early in life did you start to learn it?
When I was six.
Was it because you showed an aptitude, or was it because your parents wanted you to?
No, it was my mother's will. Wish.
When did you decide that the cello was to be your instrument?
I didn't decide either that. You don't know what you want when you are six.
And your mother had the ambition for you to be a professional musician, a soloist.
Oh yes, she's very ambitious.
How many hours a day did you have to practice as a child?
I can't remember very well. I remember I was very lazy anyway. But progressively I reached 4 hours a day when I was 10, 11. Probably I made 4 hours a day.
But didn't this interfere with your ordinary schooling?
Oh, yes, of course. I was completely ignorant, and I am still.
Well, you studied at the Paris Conservatoire. You left with the first prize.
Yes.
Were you able to start straight away as a soloist?
I think I was equipped with a sufficient technique when I was 16.
But you do have the opportunity.
Well, my mother saved money to organize a recital, because the recital was a loss, of course. You had to pay the expenses. That was the only thing I could do, but I couldn't play out of France.
So you started playing in an orchestra?
Oh, yes, to earn my living, yes.
Because we were poor.
Orchestral engagements were easy for you to get.
Yes, that is easy.
You went to the United States, to the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Yes, it was a great experience. There I could discover the music I didn't know. In France, Brahms, Sibelius, Tchaikovsky were never played.
This is strange. And in Paris, you were with the Paris Conservatoire Orchestra.
Yes, after a
while. Until when? When did you feel that the time had come to look for your opportunity to be a soloist?
The good idea was to pass an audition for Van Beinum and for Beecham. That was the start. My first appearance as a soloist international was in Amsterdam.
Well, I'm going to ask you to tell that story in a minute. In the meantime, let's have your third record.
I can't wait to hear Kathleen Ferrier.
Singing what?
Singing L'amour et la vie d'une femme.
Or Schumann. Kathleen Ferrier in a song from Schumann's A Woman's Love and Life, Franz Liebert and Levin. Monsieur Tartelier, you were going to tell us how you got your first big international solo engagement.
Well, I played for Van Beinum. He was very kind to engage me. Usually, you play for conductor and they promise to engage you, but they don't do it.
This was for an engagement in Amsterdam, was it?
In Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. That shows how honest is a Dutchman. So he did, and I couldn't believe it. And the luck was that he wasn't conducting when I came. It was Beecham conducting.
Yes.
So it had a repercussion.
Mm-hmm.
Because Beecham discovered me there and invited me to play for the Strauss Festival in London.
Yes. With Richard Strauss himself supervising the festival.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Since then, it's been a success story, hasn't it? You've been traveling about Europe as a soloist. You went back to Boston to play with your old colleagues in the symphony orchestra.
Yes, I was very moved to see my old friends there, and they were very warm and enthusiastic.
Sure. Your name is frequently mentioned in the same breath as Casals. You played with him on a number of occasions.
Yes, that was a great joy when I was invited to play at the Pratt Festival in 51, I think.
For some years, you've been a professor at the Paris Conservatoire.
Yes.
And you're giving some master classes at the moment on BBC television.
Yes.
So you like conducting too?
Also, very much.
Let's have another record. What's number 4?
And speaking of Casals, I would love to have the Schubert Quintet because Casals plays in it.
Mm. And you play on it too.
Well, that was not really the reason
I know.
For it. But that would be a remembrance of one of the best moments of my artistic life in Prague.
Which part of the work should we have?
Of the beginning. ¶¶
the opening of the Schubert Quintet in C major.
With Pablo Casals and yourself playing the two cello parts.
One important side of your career that we haven't mentioned
is your composing.
I believe it was through an early composition of yours that you first met your wife.
It is true. I had written a piece called Le Pitre, the Clown, and it is a virtuoso piece which she had to play for a competition in the Paris Conservatory.
Mm-hmm.
And played it so brilliantly, she saved my honor, since it was massacred by all the others. So I had to pay tribute to her.
Of course, she won a first prize.
She won the first prize and the husband.
You wrote a work for two cellos which you play together.
Yes. Yes, that was the only way to have her with me when I was concertizing.
Yes, traveling about.
Yes.
Some years ago, you took a complete year off from playing in order to compose.
Yes, that was marvelous.
Where did you go?
It was in Israel. I could write a symphony. And it was a great reward to feel that I was able to write a long work.
This was your Israeli symphony?
Yes.
You stayed and worked with your family in a kibbutz in Israel?
Yes.
Although you're not yourself a Jew?
No, not at all. I'm a Breton, yes. Which is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make any difference. They were the best friends, and I think I love them so much.
And this is all part of the international unity, which is something you work for very hard, isn't it?
Well, really, that is my ideal. I think love is a great thing, and love mustn't be something too short, just to the family or to your country or even to your race. And race doesn't mean anything.
To everybody.
Oh, yes.
You've appeared on the concert platform with another member of your family, your son Pascal.
True. Wonderful for me.
Yes. And he's another first prize winner of the Conservatoire.
As you say, we had also our first prize, but for him, it was quicker. He got it in 1 year instead of two, as I did.
Really? And you have a daughter who is at the Conservatoire.
Pau, 14 years old, who goes still quicker than her brother.
Bravo. You've just given a family concert, I believe, at Norwich, wasn't it?
At the Norwich Festival. We appeared at all the platforms.
All four of you?
Yes. I liked it.
Have you brought up your children as you were brought up, with music taking precedence over every other part of their education?
Yes, I am afraid so. They will be as ignorant as their parents. But after all, music is a whole world.
Have you any one big ambition that you haven't realized yet?
Oh, well, if I could go back, I think I would just work in a kindergarten. Because it is just the most beautiful thing.
Working with young children?
Oui, they are so beautiful, they are so touching.
Yes. And the other ambition you talked about?
Composing. Compose.
Right. Let's have another record. Let's have number 5. Where have we got to?
Next will be How High the Moon, sung by Ella Fitzgerald.
Why do you choose her?
Oh, because she's just unbelievable and just marvelous. The faith, the enthusiasm she has got, the talent, the genius in improvisation, rhythm.
Ella Fitzgerald, How High the Moon. What's your next choice?
Next choice, of course, will be Mozart.
What?
What Mozart, I wish I could have an opera. I love opera, but I don't know anything about opera, and I couldn't choose anything. So I chose the Andante of the Symphony Concerto because it sounds a little like an aria d'opera. Thank you.
Mozart's Sinfonia Concertante with the Perpignan Festival Orchestra conducted by Casals and Isaac Stern and William Primrose as soloists.
Monsieur Tortelier, how well could you bear the loneliness of the desert island?
Oh, I can be alone very well. I like solitude very much.
Yes, but not indefinite solitude.
And how I should manage to live, that I don't know.
Could you build a shelter?
I couldn't.
Oh. Could you cultivate?
I couldn't either. No, I think I could.
Could you fish?
I tried, but the fish always escaped me. Only my wife can.
And she won't be there.
No, she won't be there.
Would you try to escape?
Oh, I wouldn't be good for that. I have no sense of orientation.
Monsieur Tortelier, I'm worrying about you.
So do I. Everything. I would be lost.
Let us get back to music. What next?
Oh, next, Bach.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do without Bach. And the most beautiful Bach for me is the slow movement of the first Brandenburg Concerto. So beautiful it is that you dare not to play it even and to hear it. Still, I would have the recording of it. But as it belongs to the general thing, which is all beautiful, I think you can't separate it. And
you can't play just a little piece of it?
No, no. Better not to play it.
So we'll take that as play.
Yes.
And get on to your last one. What's that going to be?
Again, Bach.
Yes, yes.
Oh, it's the first chorus of the Oratorio de Noël, you see.
Christmas Oratorio.
Christmas Oratorio. Yes. That is really the thing that helps you to live on a desert island.
The first chorus of Bach's Christmas Oratorio,
the Berlin Philharmonic version,
conducted by Fritz Lehmann. Now, if you could only have one of these eight records, Monsieur Tortelier, which would it be?
Oh, I should refuse to make a choice. But, however, I shall obey your order, and I shall choose the Schumann by Katrin Sayer.
Right.
Because there is the heart that is beating.
And you're allowed to take one luxury with you to this island.
One luxury. That will be a bottle of cider in the saddle bag of a bicycle.
A bicycle?
A bicycle, yes. That is my favorite luxury. The best moment of my life I had in cycling.
Yes. And a bottle of cider to refresh you.
Yes, that.
I think we'd better give you more than one bottle so that you can have more than one bicycle ride.
and one book to take with you, apart from the Bible and Shakespeare.
Ah, one book. Also difficult to choose, but I think it will be La Petite Chronique d'Anna Magdalena Bach. It is about Bach, life.
Written by his wife.
Written by his wife.
Right. And thank you, Paul Tortelier, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Discs.